Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Square and Compass Podcast. Tonight, we have Worshipful Brother Bonifacio Soto. Welcome.
Thank you for having me here, Cam.
So you and I should go back a long ways. Masonically, you were the Worshipful Master when I was initiated into Masonry in 2007.
Well, that was one of the greatest opportunity that I have performed as a Worshipful Master to welcome somebody who is most qualified and most endearing to be a member of the fraternity.
I can certainly say, I mean, I didn't know you at the time, so I didn't know what an honor it was to be initiated by such a well-regarded and dedicated Mason, but I've got to know you now, and certainly I look back and I take a lot of pride in the fact that you were the Worship Master who initiated me into Masonry.
Okay, thank you very much.
You actually have a story. Your accent is not from Ontario, despite the way it sounds. You joined Masonry, you initiated Masonry in the Philippines, right?
Yeah, I was made a Mason in the Philippines in 1986. And initiated, passed, and raised in the same year. And I was already a Mason, very active Mason in the Philippines, prior to our coming here in 1989. So when we came to Canada, the first major thing that I did was to look for a lodge, to look for the Masonic temple, because I would like to affiliate right there and then to a established lodge here in Windsor.
And here you are. So you came here. So what year did you arrive in Canada?
We came here in April 5 of 1989.
And did you came right to Windsor?
Yeah.
And how soon after April of 89 did you find the Windsor Masonic Temple?
Now, it was around 3 months when I got a job at the university. I met then the presiding master of Garden Lodge number 641, who is the Right Worshipful Brother Thomas Moffat. So I went to see him in the office. He was very friendly. He made me comfortable. We talked about Masonry, and he says, I will get a form for you to start your journey so you could affiliate with Garden Lodge number 641. But that being said, it is not just signing the form. You have to go through a routine wherein even you are a brother in a separate jurisdiction, you have to go through, say, probing examinations just to prove that you are really a Mason.
What struck you when you first began attending Lodge here in Windsor? What struck you about Masonry in Ontario as compared to Masonry in the Philippines?
Now, first, I struggled because then I work afternoons. And lodges in Ontario meet in the evening. I start at 4 o'clock, then end at 12:30 early in the morning. And there is only a time when you get a day off on Thursday and Friday once in 2 months. So my first priority in those once in 2 months is to attend the lodge if it falls on a Friday that I am off. Or I may be on vacation.
Was there any differences you noticed in the work?
Now, the work are quite different. Now, degree works Now this, I have to be candid. I have to be frank about this. In the Philippines, how we do our degree works is just, we are more zealous in doing it. Now, when I say more zealous, now, there is more of a sense of personal contact in our degrees, just to impress upon the candidate that is how initiation, that is how passing, and that is how raising works. But in other respects, the rituals, they are the same.
When you get a chance to return to the Philippines, how often do you return to the Philippines?
On the average, once in 2 years.
During those times, are you able to return to your mother lodge where you were made a Mason?
Oh, very much. Because when we go home in January, I almost have the time to attend the installation of my mother lodge. And this last time that I attended the installation in February, this you have to believe, I was presented with that Barong Tagalog, that national costume that we wear in the Philippines, with a square and compass. And they say that that is a gesture of their appreciation for going home and attend the lads, especially during our installation ceremonies. And even here in Ontario, I feel very, very proud to wear those in special occasions in the lads.
We just had Ray Rush brother Joe Hiramic. I just spoke with him, recorded his podcast, and I asked him what advice he has for people interested, for men interested in joining Masonry. Because you have a slightly different story, I'm curious, what advice would you have for Masons who are interested in affiliating with another lodge, who due to personal circumstances or work circumstances have moved, maybe they moved to a different country? What advice would you have for those Masons?
Now, to my mind, they should bring to their adopted country the same principles, the same involvement that they embraced when they joined Masonry in their country of origin. There is no difference. Now, what you have to put when you affiliate in any lands in your adopted country is you put yourself to it. You put your mind into it. You put your time into it. And just get involved. Because that is how Freemasonry works. It is not just affiliating. It is not just affiliating. You cannot just tell your brethren in your country of origin that I am now a member of Windsor Lodge number 403. Because they may come back to you. Can you tell us, brother, what are your activities in your in that lodge that you have affiliated? Then you cannot say anything. You cannot even say, oh, last night we have a third degree. Now this year, I may be traveling to the East because I am now a junior warden. Chances are, I might be elected as senior warden. And if I prove myself worthy, I may ascend to the King Solomon's chair 2 years from now. But that you cannot just do, you cannot just get that on a silver platter. You have to prove that you are worthy.
What makes a Mason worthy, in your opinion, of advancement, of activity in lodge?
First and foremost is that you will be judged by how well you participate in lodge activities, especially in degree works. Now, to my mind, if you are a deacon, you should be adept in doing the job of the deacon. Then if you go to the south, you should be able to do what is expected of the junior warden. First and foremost, you should be able to do the junior warden's lecture. At best, you try.
Do you think that, you talk about proficiency in your work, how important is mentoring to developing that proficiency?
Oh, mentoring is very, very important. Now for your information, my brother, you should know by now that I am in that mentoring committee. For I think since I affiliated with Windsor Lads number 403, I make it a point that I am always here on Wednesday. Okay? Excepting, of course, if I am babysitting, because you know what? My grandkids won't eat dinner if Lolo is not there. Okay? So, chances are I'm always here on a Wednesday. And we took pride in our work in developing the proficiency of whoever would like to come here just to practice their work, with a special emphasis on candidates who would like or who are working for their advancement. I take pride in doing that, or we take pride in doing that.
Do you, when you talk about mentoring, there's different aspects to mentoring, I think. So there's mentoring in terms of making sure guys understand the words that they're expected to recite, just the words for the word's sake. But then there's also mentoring in terms of trying to help them understand what the words mean and the impact those words have on a candidate, the impact, the importance of the words. So how do you find mentoring in that regard? You think people focus more on just the words themselves, or do you think we need to focus on not only what the words are, but what their meanings are?
Precisely. Now, we are glad that there are so many candidates who would like to ask, what does the left-hand pillar really mean? And what does the right-hand pillar really means, you know, and what does the divest of myself of all metallic substances? What is the connection? What is the correlation of this term into masonry? And even some Masonic terms, they ask the question, what does this mean? Like,
well, don't forget, there's non-Masons watching this too.
Okay. Now,
but I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Now, just technical terms and we explain those to them.
Do you think, or what do you think, is the most important to you, the most important aspect or aspects of Freemasonry? What is it that you take with you in your day-to-day life?
When I joined Masonry, I was attracted into joining because of the activities of Masons in the Philippines at the time, because of the brotherhood that they exemplify, and those who were part, and how they relate to bringing up their family the right way. Those were the very enduring principles that attracted me into Masonry. And way that they would like you to carry yourself as even after you have joined the craft already. You have to maintain a certain level of dignity to project yourself into the community that should not tarnish or put blemish into the order. And that should be first and foremost in your heart.
Do you think that, that's a good point to bring up, Masonry, it's about how you act within your lodge and within your Masonic temple, but it's also how you act without your Masonic lodge. And it's about how you carry yourself in the community.
In the community.
Certainly that matters when you, if you look at the shirt you're wearing, it's got the square and compasses on it, Masons wear rings. So you always want to be mindful that when you're in the community, you're representing your lodge, you're representing Grand Lodge. I heard in the Philippines, maybe you can expand on this, that brethren will put the square and compass on all sorts of different, like their office doors and business cards. Is that true?
Yeah, that is very, very true. In fact, I have so many unforgettable experiences just wearing that square and compass in my shirt, in my cap, or in a certain place, a certain spot in my office. Now, Masons in the Philippines take pride in announcing that they are Masons. Now, sometimes you will see at the door of their offices, it says there, a Mason works here. Or at the door of their houses, it says there, a Mason lives here. They took pride in doing that.
Where does that pride come from? Is it pride in being a member, or is it pride in the work that they put in to maintaining a lodge and the ritual work? Is it a combination of both? Because anybody can. I'm not sure what it's like in the Philippines, if there's rules about attendance, for example, but anybody can be a Mason if they're accepted, but not every Mason who's attending regularly or is putting the work in. In the Philippines, is it different? Is there more expectations on attendance and work done?
I would say there is a more strict requirement when it comes to attendance. Now, in the Philippines, you could be suspended in one of those three, in one of these three. You could be suspended for non-attendance. Now, in non-attendance, it requires you to attend the lodge at least three times a year. One regular meeting, during the election of officers, and during the installation. These are the three important dates that you should attend. And, of course, for non-payment of dues. Putting their names and the square and compass in business card is just inform the brethren at large that I am a Mason. Bon Soto is a Mason. But it does not mean that you can use that card in order to take advantage of the position of the brother. You can use that card only in times wherein you may be in dire need. And if the want is really commensurate to the task that you have put into the craft, into masonry. Now, that is how I perceive it.
What are some of your fondest memories? Or what, when you think about masonry, what are some of the memories that come to mind? You joined 86, so got a few years in now.
Oh, there are so many. Perhaps if I will try to recollect them, perhaps it will take us a couple of hours. But the most recent was that when we celebrated our 50th anniversary. My family, including all the grandkids, we went into a cruise. We went to Aruba, we went to Curaçao, we went to so many islands. When we were in Curaçao, there were imagine there were around 5,000 people in that cruise ship. And I was wearing exactly this t-shirt with a baseball cap with a square and compass in it. And I was waiting in that crowd because I do not like to lose my wife in the crowds. And here comes somebody. Now, he was riding I do not know what you call that, two-wheel and waiting in the crowd. And when he saw me, he could be around 5 meters away. He stopped and he flashed the pinusay of a master mason. If you are not in it, if you are not sharp, you won't be able to catch that. So when I saw it, I flashed a big smile. He dropped his vehicle. We met halfway, then we embraced each other. Then the words that came from my mouth was, "I am glad to meet you, my brother." And the parting word was, it is just unfortunate because when you came here, we met at a very, very limited time situation. I am doing my job because I am a security officer in this island, and you are just going through the routine of visiting the islands. Enjoy your stay, and I hope our path will cross again. That was the most recent.
When you tell stories like that, I think active Masons, most Masons will have stories, and it just goes to show, you know, it's a worldwide fraternity and how wonderful it is to be in a place you've never been before, but know you have a brother that can help you if you need it. You know, you find the lodge, you look for the lodge. When you travel, do you look for Masonic lodges?
Oh, yeah. You know, I am a retired basketball referee here. When I go to different towns, if I have time, I always go around and look for the Masonic temple. Or ask a fellow referee, where could I find a Masonic temple? Because I knew that if the time comes that I would be needing help, that is the best place to go, to look for a brother.
I think those type of stories, I think that's something that is missing from Masonry nowadays. You know, one of the synonyms for a Mason is traveler.
Mm-hmm. Traveler, yeah.
And the importance of travel. Going all the way back to when Masons were only stonemasons and they had to travel in order to practice their craft, and different towns would require Masons for different buildings. They had to travel from town to town. If you were talking to a newer Mason, or even a Mason who's been around for a while but is less active, how important do you think travel is to your Masonic journey?
Now, I have been telling, especially the younger brothers who just come into the lands, that for them to experience the fruit of Masonry, they should travel, because you are a traveler. Now remember the journey when you, from your initiation to your passing to your raising, that is a journey itself. That is a travel itself. Now you have to travel in order to earn the reward of being a Mason. Because if I may, Cameron, in our rituals, now it says, What, my brother, what induced you to be a Mason? That is from the worshipful master to the senior warden. Then the senior warden will say that I may travel in foreign countries, work and receive master Mason's wages, the better to enable myself to support myself and my family and all worldly brother master Masons.
Could you say that first part again? I think that is a piece of ritual from the Philippines.
Yeah.
But I think that is one of the most beautiful
I know it
things
is.
I've ever heard of Mason, that first line, so that I may...
Okay. That I may travel in foreign countries, work and receive Master Mason's wages, the better enable myself to support myself and my family, and worthy brother Master Masons.
I like that a lot. You know, so we're filming this in November. This will be put up on the Square and Compass channel in February. So in between now and then, I got to get myself, Worship Brother Igor Strukin, who's also been a guest here. We're going to be going to get another round of Masonic tattoos. And I was trying to think what I should get, what I should do. I got some ideas, but so that I may travel in foreign countries.
Remember that, because you will carry that. And when you travel, and in fact, you have already traveled, there is always a brother Mason that you will meet somewhere in your travels, because it says in our teachings that Masonry is spread over every habitable surface of the earth. That is very, very true.
Maybe so that I may travel for countries
with
a good tattoo right here. Here's my question for you, Bob. What's your tattoo going to be?
Now, I do not have a tattoo yet, but you
got to join us.
The tattoo that I have in myself as a Mason is the tattoo of a Mason in my heart. That is the tattoo that I have. I always carry that heart of a Mason wherever I go.
That is very true.
I always carry that.
The 12 years that I've known you, there's no doubt that you exemplify all of the best qualities of Masonry. So it certainly is in your heart. But come on, you got to be a bit rebellious. Don't tell your wife. Just come get the tattoo with us. It'll be great. All right, Bob. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to meet up with me and do this podcast. I think I'm hoping a lot of our newer Masons will check this podcast out in particular, because you have a lot of knowledge to impart. So I appreciate you taking the time.
It is my pleasure, Cameron. You know, if there is another way that I could expound into the beauty and importance of Freemasonry, please just ask. You know, we will do it some more times.
I would love to have you back on the show, maybe with a few other Masons too. Though I gotta say, you mentioned earlier, I don't know, I think you might have made a mistake, because you said you've been married for 50 years, but you're only 35 years old.
I will be 75 by the end of this month.
He's
November 30th.
He's 40.
I will turn 75.
He's 40. Look at that face. That's the face of a 40-year-old.
Now, I am a 40-year-old Mason. That is why I enjoy Masonry. That is why I am always young at heart.
All right. That's a perfect place to leave it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Guys.
Cameron, it's my pleasure.
My pleasure to have you
it's
on.
It's my pleasure.
Next week, come on back. Sundays at 6 p.m. We'll have another episode of the Square and Compass podcast. Like and subscribe to this video and to this channel. And if you want exclusive content, check out patreon.com. Thank you so much. See you guys later.